Did you find that when, you know, when you told people about what you were going through, did you find that that they kind of almost tried to avoid saying the C word?
Some people did.
Mm.
Yeah. A lot of people knew people who had been through it.
Yeah.
So we're able to say, oh, yes, I knew so-and-so and she's fine now, or and whatever, which was the case so many times, which was quite encouraging. But there were some people, who not only avoided saying the C word, but from then on avoided talking to me because they didn't know what to to say. I mean, I'm a very open person. I don't mind telling people these things. In fact, I rather would, because I'd rather them think that know that there's something wrong rather than wonder why my children are being taken to school by someone else or why I'm not around. Or, but some people didn't handle it very well, didn't know what to say, and I felt a bit awkward. But in the end, I thought, no, that's really, I haven't done anything wrong. That's really their problem.
Yeah,
you know. Precisely. And I didn't pressure them to say anything. I just leave them to how they wanted to react. But it was awkward on a few occasions. Yeah,
Okay, so we go after your chemo. What happens after in your case after your chemo?
I was extremely lucky, or however you choose to see it. I know how I chose to see it. From the word go, the chemo was effective. The tumor started softening and shrinking from the first treatment. By the end of the sixth treatment, it basically was gone.
Yeah.
I couldn't see any evidence of it. But feeling and whatever, what had been there was no longer. I went for my next appointment with my consultant, who took one look at me and said, which breast is it? I mean, obviously he knew, but that was his way of saying, it's changed, you know, it's not, doesn't look like it's there.
Yeah.
He did the examination, and I said, well, I think you're going to have to play hunt the tumour. And he said, yes, I am. I can't find one anywhere. But they still decided to go ahead. They had decided already on a mastectomy.
Right.
So they decided to go ahead with that, even though clinically they could find no evidence of the tumour.
Yeah.
So it was, they do it after about 6 weeks. They like to do it, I think it was about 8 weeks, 7-8 weeks in my case, because I had a holiday booked.
Right.
So they then decided to remove the breast and the lymph nodes, because I'd had infected lymph nodes, although again with an ultrasound they could find no sign of any infection still there.
Okay.
But the next step was for me was the surgery.
Right, okay.
And also I'm continuing and will be until probably next June time with the Herceptin every 3 weeks, which is what was held as a wonder drug a few years ago. I don't know if anyone has heard of it. But it's for a particular sort of cancer.
Right.
It helps to prevent it coming back.
Right, because you were talking about that the other day, wasn't you, about increasing the chances of it not recurring? Or is that something different?
That was the radiotherapy.
Yeah.
Yes, that is what I'm sort of deciding
pondering on at the moment.
Now, yeah. Because they actually, when they did remove the breast and the lymph nodes, they could find no cancer in them.
Okay.
They examined them a second time and still could find nothing.
Mm.
So they, but then they're still saying they want to do the radiotherapy as it is part of the treatment plan.
Yeah.
Which will apparently, because I've had such a good reaction to the chemo, I have an 80% chance of non-recurrence. The radiotherapy will take it up to 90%.
Okay. And what's, I mean, you haven't been through it, so because you haven't decided yet, do you know what's involved with radiotherapy?
Yes, I've read about it. You have an initial appointment to work out exactly how they're going to do it and where they're going to target it. It's like a sort of X-ray type beam.
Okay, right.
It's like a beam of radiation.
A zapper.
And they basically do zap any cells that might be left.
Okay.
Now they can't find any cells left in the breast, so that makes them think there probably aren't any left in the surrounding tissue, but this is a sort of precautionary thing.
Yeah.
And they basically, it's a very localized thing. They zap the areas that it's necessary. So once you've had your initial appointment, decide where those areas are.
Yeah.
You then have every day for 5 weeks, you go in and have 10 minutes being zapped and come out again.
Yeah.
Which in itself isn't that much, but 5 weeks of this is quite sort of, for me with children, just beginning to get back to normal, it's a bit sort of, should I or shan't I?
So, but is that the only consideration in terms of, you know, the actual inconvenience of it? Are there any kind of side effects?
There are side effects. Again, I will be, it's cumulative. I may, but towards the end of it, find myself getting tired again. And the skin, the area that they're actually zapping, can feel like you've got a bad sunburn just around that area.
Yeah.
I think they're the major side effects.
Okay.
That they tell you to look out for.
Sure.
But yeah, to me, the biggest thing is
the inconvenience, the
injury, inconvenience, and the disruption again for the children who had their lives disrupted enough.
Yes.
The last two terms, and my 7-year-old said to me at the end of the summer term, could I go to her leavers assembly because I hadn't bothered going to anything else?
Yeah.
And I had to explain, no, it's not because mummy hasn't bothered. It's because mummy's not been well.
Yes.
So obviously to her, it seemed like mummy wasn't bothering. And, you know, obviously to me that made me feel bad, even though I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So having to think, gosh, another 5 weeks worth of that, of potentially sort of, you know, being out of the loop as far as the kids are concerned again.
Yeah.
It's not very appealing, but then it is only 5 weeks.
Yeah.
It can possibly be done in 3 if they agree to it, but obviously there'd be more side effects because they'd be given a slightly stronger dose, which may be easier for me.
Yeah.
But then by Christmas, it'll have been done and I'll know that I've done everything I can to stop it coming back again, which I think in the long run has got to be the best thing for the children.
What? Do you, I don't know if this is a very fair question to ask because you've actually not finished yet necessarily. Have you found your approach to life different?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm not the sort of person that can take things one day at a time very easily at all.
Right.
And I've had to. I've just, certainly at the beginning with the waiting for the results of the scans, if I'd looked into, you know, gosh, when I get the results, it might be blah blah blah. You said yourself to me, don't worry until you have to. Just live for today.
Yeah.
You haven't got to worry about it today. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't come naturally to me at all.
No, it doesn't to most people.
No, I don't think it does. No. But I've had to force myself, otherwise I'd go mad with the thoughts of what could happen.
Yeah.
And when I did let myself think what could happen, I end up in floods of tears. I'd be completely useless. I'd start Googling things, which is the worst thing.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, that is. I mean, there were occasions when I Googled something, and I just ended up panicking.
Yeah.
I ended up actually ringing the Macmillan cancer support line.
Yeah.
And they talk sanity to me. they told me not to Google and to ring them first.
Yes.
Because they could, you know, if I told them specifics of my case, they could, obviously they didn't know me, but they could give me
a pretty good estimate,
professional information, rather than scaremongers and forums and all sorts of things on the internet.
So it just goes to show that the Macmillan cancer support people, it's not necessarily just for the terminally.
No, you know, not at all.
It's a general. It can be a general advice and help kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a helpline, and it is for anyone to ring. Cancer sufferers, people, you know, at any stage of treatment, after treatment, their relatives, friends, people who want to know how to support somebody with cancer.
Yeah,
and they're brilliant. They give advice. I rang them at the beginning of the whole thing when I was just about to get my biopsy results. When I was very scared, and the lady on the nurse on the other end just very calmly went through with me what was likely to be happening that afternoon, what I was going to be told, and the significance of what I might be told. And she was so calm and so sort of professional about it.
Yeah.
It just totally calmed me down and made me stop running around like a headless chicken. It's It was, you know, she was fantastic.
Don't you just love internet research?
Yes. Yes, it's not all it's cracked up.
No, it's not. Okay, so you were, you said, and I hope you haven't got rushed downstairs, but you said you'd written a poem.
Yes, I have it here on my phone.
Oh, before we do that, if presumably you advise anybody that's worried that they might have found something to get to their doctor?
As soon as possible, yes. I mean, in my case, due to personal circumstances, I really, without going into it all, I wasn't in a position to go to the doctor, to be honest. Mm. But yeah, ideally, go to the doctor as soon as you notice something different.
Yeah.
And they're not going to tell you you're a waste of time. You know, if there's nothing wrong, they're going to be as pleased as you are.
Yes.
Yeah. Also with me, I'm back in my mind, I think, I don't want to waste a doctor's time. Mm. You know, this is only me. This is, you know, but you're not wasting their time. They're there to reassure you about these things if there's nothing wrong,
yeah,
or to support you if there is, and to catch it as soon as you can.
Sure. Yeah. As it's, my regular listeners will know, makes me sound like Mr. All Important. As regular listeners to Music and Firelight will know, we have Stella on every week to have a little bit of a discussion, and Stella usually writes a poem, usually about something that I'm going to be talking about later on, and presumably you've written something appropriate.
Yes. Oh, basically this poem comes out of a sort of story, not a true story, just a sort of quite a meaningful story, if you like. But a good friend told me several years ago now, she herself died of cancer almost 2 years ago.
Right.
I emailed her when I heard she'd been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and I said to her that this particular story that she had told me when I first met her, or told a group of us, was something that I wouldn't forget and that I would use in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically about when you do go through the rough times and you get through them and you come out the other side, using that experience to help other people in any way, you know, and the experience you gain and the new way of looking at things and sort of a new sensitivity for others maybe, whatever, using it to help other people who might then be struggling. As I say, she told this little story and I've sort of adapted it and I made it into a poem, and I hope I get the point across.
Okay,
the
cool.
Last two verses are actually written at 2:30 this morning, so I hope they're okay.
Nothing like last minute, then.
Okay. Filled with despair, he set out for a walk along the beach. His life was just too difficult, peace of mind way out of reach. He looked up from the seashore, saw the cliffs up high above, decided to climb up them. It was a walk he used to love. Filled with sorrow now, he followed paths he'd known since he was young, leading up onto the clifftop where he'd played with Dad and Mum. Now his life was just so empty. Now his family had gone. He had nothing left to live for, so just why should he go on? He approached the cliff edge, looking down into the crashing waves, and was ready to jump over, ready to embrace his grave. But then suddenly he noticed that he was not there alone. Another man was sitting on a bench watching the foam. He did not want a witness, wanted nobody to know that his life had reached rock bottom, so he decided to go home. He would return the next day and would then complete his task, when there was no one looking, no one to wonder or to ask. But the next day life seemed better, had improved that little bit. He did not want to revisit the seashore or the cliff. Likewise with the days that followed, and the days turned into weeks. All too soon a year was over, and then he went back to the beach. He walked again up to the clifftop, thinking how his life had changed. He sat down upon the bench there and saw something rather strange. He saw a man approach the cliff edge, look down to the waves below, saw him glance in his direction, saw him turn and swiftly go. He knew then what had happened. He'd been there for someone who had needed just a presence to help him make it through. He had been that presence, like the man a year before had been a presence for him on that cliff by the seashore.
Yeah, I get the point of that. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, that's a classic. That'll go up on audiobook.
Brilliant. I'll dedicate that then to Amanda, the lady who originally told me the story.
Okay, fantastic. That's brilliant. Well, it seems like a really crass thing to say, but we're glad you're still with us.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm sure you are too.
Oh, yes, very much so. Yes.
You know, it's
absolutely.
It's, it's quite something when you read the newspapers and you say blah 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 cancer, blah 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 cancer. It doesn't sink. You just don't get it.
No, I had no reason to think it would ever happen to me.
No.
And you read the
Nobody
papers
does.
And you hear about other people and you think how awful. But there was no family history of breast cancer, no reason why I should have it.
Yeah.
And then just suddenly out of the blue someone tells you you've got it.
Yeah.
And it your perspective changes. It's not just something that happens to someone else.
Yeah. Something like that, I would imagine. I'm kind of guessing here because I'm trying to think how it would hit me. Something like what we're doing here, it makes it even more striking.
Yes. Oh, definitely. I mean, last year was great, and I thought, yeah, what a brilliant, worthwhile cause.
Yes.
And your story moved me.
It kind of had no meaning, though, really, to you personally.
It had a meaning, but
not to you personally.
Not to me personally, and not nearly the same as it did this year. To the extent that I'd bid £250 for a slice of cake, you know, that yes. that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's not about the cake.
It's not about the cake.
When you were here last year as a surprise, you didn't think, you had no idea that, you know, you were going to be, like, you know, going through what you've been through in the last 6 months.
No, I had no idea what was going to happen.
Absolutely not.
In the year and how much more it would mean to me.
Yes.
A year later.
You know, and also there are people that we know on Twitter and people that we've come into contact with since, the amount of people that have either found out that they've got cancer or family members that have had cancer or whatever. It's astonishing. It's almost that there's a veil being taken off your eyes. And you're suddenly noticing. No, I don't think it's that at all. I just think it's such a bloody prevalent thing.
Yeah, and I think also it's not the taboo it once was.
That's true.
A few years ago, certainly when I was younger, it wasn't really mentioned that somebody was ill or they were maybe very ill or, you know, nobody really said cancer, and people were absolutely terrified. Now, obviously, people still are terrified, but there's so much that can be done these days, and so much support there for people with cancer that it is not the taboo that it once was.
And also, I guess people like in back in the day, you know, people would have died and died of cancer, not even having even been diagnosed.
Yeah,
you know, because they, you know, oh, you know, I can't go to the doctor. Da 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 da. All those excuses.
Yes.
I was going to say something else, and I can't bloody remember what it was. Jesus. I mean, my thinking behind the whole Macmillan's thing is you just never know when you might need it yourself.
No, you don't. Well, I suppose it's like that with anything. But
yeah,
this,
I guess.
In this instance, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know. I mean, I didn't know that I'd, this time last year, that I'd be making phone calls to Macmillan and needing their support.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me. You know, I might have thought, how awful if I ever do, but you know, within a few months from last year's DJ Marathon.
Months later, you were.
I was using the
Macmillan
services. Support myself. Yeah.
All right, well, Stella, thanks so much for telling your story, because I think it's really important that you know, the people that know you on Twitter, and you know, they've obviously known and seen your timeline till they know they've had that, but it doesn't tell the story.
No.
You know, it's important that the story's told.
Yeah.
You know, not just for people that follow you on Twitter, but for anybody that's listening, you know, it's just important that you connect with somebody that you know and hear their story.
Yes, I think so. And when it is somebody that you know, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just a mum with kids. You know, I'm nothing special, but it chose me to happen to. And you suddenly have to deal with it. And people say I'm very brave, but what choice did I have? You know, I couldn't do anything else.
No, well, absolutely. Well, it's like any kind of adversity, isn't it? You're like going blind or whatever. You know, the amount of people that have said to me, oh, you know, I don't know how you cope with it. Well, you either cope with it or you don't.
Yes, you don't have any choice, really.
You know, you've got, you do the one thing or the other.
Yeah.
You know, you either handle it or you die. You know?
Yes.
That's your choice.
Yeah. And when you've got children, you have to.
Exactly.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
You can't give up.
No.
So, yeah.
Well, to end, I think it's only fitting that we play the Dire Straits track that you showed. Why Worry?
Yes,
because that's so. Thanks very much, Stella, and I hope you enjoyed the tea and cake.
Oh, it was lovely. Thank you.